You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date. Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, and I just thank you for joining us today. I'm here with Nanette Maldonado, my co-host.
Good morning.
Good morning. And again, we're excited to see whatever the Lord decides to bring forth. I have one word today, and we're going to start with that and talk about that. And that word is transition. And if anybody is alive today, you can sense that we are in a time of transition in the church. And even for a novice, you would have to know that there is change taking place. Change in the earth, change in the church, change in our homes, our families. There's all kinds of stuff going on. So it's like we're in this swirling time of transition. So I just wanted to read, what is a transition? A transition is defined as the process of changing from one state, one stage, one place, or one condition to another. And the key word in that is process. When you're in a process, there's instability, there's uncertainty, there's, you don't know what to do, and you're not where you were, but you're not yet in the place where you're going to be going. And that, you know, because there's change, there's the Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, I think that's how you pronounce it, says the only constant in your life is change. And that, you know, you could have changes daily, you could have changes, you know, at any different time, you can have change for any different reason. And that's how life is. And you transition from different things. Maybe you're transitioning from a job, maybe you're going here, going there, your family life is changing. And, you know, so change is always constant. But I sense, and I'm sure that many others sense, that God is really making himself known in these days. And there is a window of time, a window of opportunity that we're facing, that we're in. And it's, you know, we have individual change, you know, in our lives, but we need to see the whole picture, because the body of Christ is changing. God is, he's assembling. He's been assembling forever, for all this time, but there's something so significant that's coming, whether it's the return of the Lord or a change in preparation for the return of the Lord. I don't know what that is. But the Lord, he's the one who changes times and seasons. And this is really a time that, you know, when we have that intimate relationship with the Lord, he's our only stability. There's nothing on earth that's ever going to bring stability to us. We can have the most wonderful family. We can have the greatest job and great income and all these other things. But those things can change in a moment's notice. So the Lord God is the only one who can hold us and keep us during times of transition as we live our lives. But I believe he's about to show up on the scene. He already is. You know, for those that are looking for him, for those that are really desiring to see change in their own lives, we know that it only comes from him. You know, we can externally do things to try to change ourselves. You know, we could, if you look at the, you know, transition is like a big word right about now with, you know, the community of people that want to change their identity. And what do you think that is? To me, I think that they're wanting to turn into something other than what they are. So if you look at that in the sense of the church, that when we are born again, Jesus changes us into another person. And we're all looking for identity. You know, where is our identity? Where does it lie? And it needs to be in the Lord God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we are able to move through life and, you know, have our faith in him and our trust in him so that he can accomplish his will in our life. And this is, I feel like this change that is here now is one that none of us have any control over. We absolutely have no control over what God is doing because he's doing it himself worldwide in the body and also in the earth, whatever's going on in the earth. And we know that the earth, what's happening in the earth is parallel to what's happening in the spirit. And so they get ready for a change. And I just want to say that I had probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I had a dream that I was in this big, it was like I was in space, you know, so I could just see the darkness, the space there. And there was this platform that was huge, and it looked like Star Trek, something, and there were all these maybe 5 or 6 roads that went up to the center of this platform, and you could see the lights. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of just the closing ceremonies of the Olympics, the last Olympics. Mm-hmm. I think that they had all the people from all the different countries walking up, all in the different different ways, and then they went up and everybody went to the center. But in this dream, it was like maybe it was just me. Maybe it was just the Lord was just showing me, you know, it could be any of us. So we went up to the center, and the center of the platform was spinning around. And you didn't know where it was going to land.
Wow.
And when you went up on the platform and you stood there as it was making this circular motion, you may have walked up one ramp, but you may have walked off another ramp. And to me, I feel like this is the time that we're in. And we need to be able to transition however the Lord is leading us. Things like we know it are not going to be the same. And it's a time to let go. It's a time to just leave what is behind so that we can embrace what is ahead of us. And so, you know, Ecclesiastes 3 talks about there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And, you know, we've talked about this before in the station, but it's just feels more so now that, you know, that whole chapter, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 22, says the teacher shows that we are subject to times and changes over which we have little or no control. And it contrasts this state with God's eternity and sovereignty. God sovereignly determines all of life's activities. And I dare say that it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to pay attention to what God is speaking to you in your life. Yeah, he may be telling you to move, and I know we've talked about this before, but it's just, this is like really heavy on my heart. He may be speaking to you about leaving a church that you're at. Maybe you have outgrown the, you know, in what you have, what God has for you in your giftings and wow. and whatever he has put in you. You know, maybe you're feeling dissatisfied. And you're like, you know, come on, I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I here? If you don't change, then you become stagnant and you end up losing what could have been. You know, of course, the Lord will always do a course correction, but in the time of rain, ask for rain. You know, when it's time to do something, that's when you have to do it. You can't put it off. You can't wait. So, I was looking at this word from somebody that I saw that, that the first words, the first letters of the word transition are transit. Transit means moving, whether you're on a bus or a train. Going from one place to another as you travel towards a destination. Of course, we don't know what the destination is. We do not know. And I recall the Lord saying to me, you better get comfortable with being uncomfortable so that when the change comes, you're in the right place and you're going to know it. And I say when we get there that we're going to be so blown away and so surprised at how God will lead. It's like he just wants us to take our hands off of what was, what we had done before, the way we did it. You know, maybe you have a daily routine. And the Lord's like, oh, come on, get out of it. Just do something new, do something different so that you can, you know, shake that skin off. And anyway, so go ahead, Nanette. Well, I'm looking at this.
That's interesting because when you were just sharing that, I recalled during Thanksgiving weekend, I had some family visiting, and we actually experienced Brightline for the first time. Wow. We took the Brightline. Now I know everybody has their opinion about trains, but
especially the Brightline.
Especially the Brightline, but I love trains. I mean, I am a former New Yorker, and so that's where I really, that was my form of transportation, mm-hmm. walking or the train. And I loved it. No matter how crowded it was, I absolutely loved it. So I was really having a childlike moment, returning back to the train, and I had the gift of doing it with a family that were visiting from out of town. And it's interesting that when you were mentioning that, we had assigned seats. And hear me, we had assigned seats. You know, you kind of register online and they assign you seats. And there were, I believe, how many were there? Were there nine of us? I believe there was nine of us. I'm not too sure. But anyway, we entered in and we're going and we're getting our seats, and we tried to get our seats all together. Okay. And it was interesting that once we were going, approaching our seats, the seats were already full. Hmm. It was like our seats were changed. And so instead of us getting frustrated, we didn't. We just said, wow. We checked with them, you know, to verify that they were in the right seating. And they were. And so we went to the lady, and they were very helpful. And they were trying to figure things out. And they weren't sure how that happened. But apparently, it was a matter of maybe just double booking. They have no idea. And so they said, well, give us a few minutes so we can give you new seats. And I felt like when you were talking about the transition, you know, the transit, the process, that even when we're on the train, your seating might change. Your position might change. What you thought, what you were going for might change. But just yield. Yield with humility. Yield with trust. Yield knowing that He is in control, even in the seating, even in the position while you're transitioning. And so even though the destination was a particular place, and we arrived, in the process, movements had to be made. And they weren't by us. And they weren't our choosing. And mind you, we weren't sitting with the same people we were sitting with. So even though we all wanted to remain as a family, it was like He changed it up, where I was no longer sitting with my aunt and my uncle. I was sitting now with my dad and my cousin. The seats even changed of who you were sitting by.
Well, that's kind of neat. That's
great.
Great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about in Matthew 25, the parable about the master giving three servants different amounts of wealth.
Oh, yeah.
So in transition, sometimes happens when you're a 5-talent person living in a 2-talent life. God knows your capacity, and He wants to get you out of everything He has placed inside of you. He wants to get out of you everything He's placed inside of you.
Mm.
And that's why, you know, with and that particularly about, you know, if you're in a church and then you just, like, you just, it's not doing anything for you anymore. And it, because it's a time of growth. And the Lord wants to lead you to a place that's going to enable you to grow in your gifts. So there should be no fear in, you know, looking for a different church, finding a different place that's going to meet the current need of what you have and what the Lord wants to do in your life. Let's see. Maybe your assignment is finished where you are. And I've experienced that recently, you know, being in a place where, you know, prayer, they're on a prayer assignment, you know, solid, you know, 3-year prayer assignment. And then the Lord said, okay, thank you, you're done. You know, so it's move on. But if I had tried to stay, then it just... things just become stagnant and sour. And then you end up, what happens, I think, a lot of times, the Lord's trying to get you to move. But you be, when you become stagnant, you're just, you become a stick in the mud. And then the longer you're in it, the harder it is to get out of it.
Mm.
You know, and you end up holding on to, well, you know, this is the way it is. And you try to, you stay there your whole life, but... I can tell you, you know, from natural experience, my time in the military, we were so used to moving every 2 or 3 years, you know, that it was like you had the grace to do it. So you knew it was coming. Of course, you knew exactly where you were going. You knew what day you had to get there. You knew what day you were leaving from your current place. So, you know, I feel like for me that
you
the
knew
Lord...
the seasons.
Yeah. So for me, that's... how I process a lot of things by my experience, and I think we all do. But that ability to move when it's time. And so, you know, I did that for 20 years in the military.
Which, mind you, it's the hardest thing to do. It really is. It's a big adjustment to move.
Yes.
In the new and in the unknown.
Exactly. Even though I knew that when I went to the next duty station, I was going to be doing the same type of job. Of course, I was going to be working with different people. You know, maybe I was being promoted. You know, anything. A lot of different scenarios. But I still had my job. Mm-hmm. What I knew was my work. And it was just the people I worked with were going to be different. But, it, you know, even the process of moving... So, you know, 6 months before you leave, you get your pick of where you want to go. Mm. Well, I did at least. I always had three choices of where I wanted to go. And I'll just talk about Guam because that was my last choice. So they offered me Guam. They offered me a ship, an oiler of all things. And then they offered me, I think it was Greece or, you know, some country in Europe.
My nephew wants to go to Guam.
He should. I'll tell him all about it. But anyway, so I had those three choices. And my husband's like, you know, you're definitely not going on a ship. And I'm like, yes, because I don't want to be smelling oil. And then whatever the one was in Europe, I just kind of had the sense that that wasn't it. So we chose Guam. And so that was 6 months ahead. So I told him, okay, yes, I'll take Guam. So then they send me the orders. They said, okay, so you have to report in there on such and such a date. So then I was able to adjust. You know, we had to call the movers. We had to schedule the transport of our cars and, you know, just have the checkoff list of all the stuff we had to do. And, you know, it was always kind of fun because it was like, oh, you can just get rid of stuff you don't want and then pack only the stuff you need. And then, of course, you have a sponsor where you're going. So they're going to tell you, well, over here, it's really hard to get such and such. So, you know, we would pack a lot of that, whatever it was. And anyway, so just all the time leading up to when you get on the plane to go. And then you arrive, and you're, of course, in unfamiliar territory, but you have a sponsor that shows you where stuff is, you know, the bank, the credit union, whatever. So you have someone to help you, and then you meet all your people you're going to work with, and then you begin your job and you settle in for, you know, that your assignment is 2 years, 2.5 years. So, and then you do it again. But it was always fun. It was just new. It was fresh. And there were always new adventures. I've always been adventurous. So, you know, I like the change.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, now we've been here for 15 years, we've never lived anywhere this long.
Wow.
So it's
different.
Anyway, so that was my...
Yeah, you know, and there's so many, even looking at the scriptures, there's so many different transition periods, you know, from Moses, you know, handing over leadership to Joshua.
Right.
And that was tough, but he heard the word of the Lord. He heard the word of the Lord for him concerning him and his position and the end of just as far as he can go, and to be willing to hand it over to Joshua, someone who was very, very faithful. And he was given the opportunity to prepare him so he can lead the Israelites, you know, to the promised land. And so that signifies like really a clear, you know, shift, you know, and in leadership. And then, you know, you think about one of the scriptures that the Lord took me was, and, you know, I don't know if this makes sense, even in this period of time, you know, I looked back when Daniel was thrown in the den of lions. It's interesting how, you know, he had said, and this you can see in Daniel 6, where, you know, even the king, you know, had said, you know, may your God whom you serve faithfully rescue you. And so he is in this, he gets thrown into this den where instantly these lions could have just ripped his body into shreds and stuff. And God's hand was upon him. And he had no idea what God was going to allow, what was going to happen whatsoever. But, you know, to his surprise, Daniel answered, you know, long live the king. You know, may God sent his that God sent his angels to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt him. And he was found innocent in God's sight. I feel like even in this transition process, is God seeing, are we faithful?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he seeing, are we innocent in his sight? Are we pleasing? You know, because he said, I have not wronged you, your majesty. You know, he was telling the king, I've done nothing wrong. But after that, what took place in that beautiful moment, I feel like that's also a transition where the King Darius had a message to every race and nation and language. Isn't it interesting? And it was peace and prosperity to you. And it was, I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with the fear before the God of Daniel. And even after that, it says Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus. And so we have an opportunity, I believe, even right now, to prosper in him, to have that moment of peace in the midst of everything, that inner peace. And so so he was showing me that as a form of transition, you know, what's happening now. And that was just interesting to me. And one of the other things that came to mind was Enoch, you know, Enoch in Genesis. What was it? Genesis 5, 21 to 24. It says walking in close, you know, Enoch walking in close relationship with God. Until one day he disappeared and God took him. But it was interesting that it goes on to say that it was known that he pleased God. So it's like, again, it's speaking to me personally, like this transition that I'm going through, that our family is going through, and many are going through, like you, I agree with you totally, Karen, that this is also a time like, that we want to please God. So we get to the end of that transition as well. You know, that we're found faithful, that we're found committed to him. And I thought that was pretty cool, you know, how he was speaking to me. And it says in Hebrews 11:5, it says, it gives a little bit more detail. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But again, you know, it was commended that he pleased God. Like, wow, you know, faith again. We need to have faith in this time of transition, even though we can't see where we're going to land, where we're going to go.
Yeah. And the word says, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we are entering into a realm of faith that we have not known before.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we, for whatever reason, you know, maybe we've been taught in church, I don't know, like there's been an inhibiting of spiritual growth. You know, many people have, you know, they get saved and then that's about it.
That's
and then
happened.
Maybe they're just reading scriptures, but there's no further growth and they're stuck at salvation, but God has so much more for us. There's so many things, you know, he's benevolent. He's so desirous to pour out his blessings. And for whatever reason, we have not been able to receive the fullness of what he has for us. You know, we're just, and I'm saying this because of my own experience, you know, just stumbling around.
Yeah.
Even when you're saved, you're still stumbling around. You're trying to figure out, you know, this or that. And so you just kind of grab on to maybe what somebody's saying and you kind of hang on to that, you know, for years and years. But you're not growing.
Yeah.
You're not growing. And it's because there's a lack of intimacy with the Lord.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I just, And when I got saved, it just nobody ever said develop a relationship with Jesus. It was read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. But I had no, there was no reference point for anything. But if someone had said, if you spend your time talking to Jesus and listening and asking him, because it, we don't know anything. We don't know the word or anything when we get saved.
Yes, yes.
You know, but for some reason, people just expect you to know what they already know.
Yeah.
But when you, it's just shut yourself, like it says in the scripture, shut yourself in your room and talk to the Lord. Find out from him. Develop that.
Yes.
And we were not many. Well, maybe some people were. Maybe you had that when you got saved. But
imagine if you think about the martyrs, you know, some of them have very little of the word.
Right.
And, you know, they had to kind of sneak in the word. And it was interesting how even if it was one word, boy, did they, I mean, they memorized it. They had such a desperation to hold on to that one word, and to know it well.
Mm-hmm.
And that led them to a place of dying, death to themselves. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
So they didn't have the entire Bible. They didn't have the luxury we have. And you know, I just got the scripture right now in my spirit, and it says, you know, the word is a lamp onto our feet, a light onto our path. And so, you know, I'm speaking to myself and to all of us right now, like, get in the word. It's going to be a lamp onto your feet. It's going to be a light onto your path right now. And even going back to Enoch, Karen, because I'm saying this now, where for us, it might be a spiritual thing. It's only by his spirit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Enoch for me right now is just a picture of spiritually me going somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, like not my flesh, not my body, not what I think I know, but in the spirit, him transitioning me,
mm-hmm.
transitioning me elsewhere or
yes.
into something. And so, because it says Enoch was no more, but he walked close with God. I feel like even now in the spirit, as we're close to him, there's going to be a transition that we have never experienced
mm-hmm.
by his spirit.
Right. Yeah. Nothing fleshly.
Yes.
Nothing worldly.
Nothing fleshly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we're going to think differently. Our perspectives are going to change about a lot of things.
Exactly. Yeah, and this here says God wants to reveal himself to you in new ways.
Wow.
This is often the case when God transitions you from one spiritual environment to another. In your current environment, you've experienced everything of God and the life of faith that there is a capacity to express.
Hmm.
Says, however, actually, you may have been part of a solid church with strong biblical teaching. That's great. But God also wants to expose you to a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. But maybe you don't have that where you are. And then you're being quenched inside. There's nothing worse than that feeling of, you know, it's like you want to get out. You know that there's more.
Hmm.
But yet you're, there's like a quenching in your spirit. Says your current environment maybe has become too limiting or restrictive. Your current place, position, relationship was never supposed to be permanent. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really the key. We think once we're saved, once we receive salvation, and then we just begin our life sitting in the church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we think that that's our life.
Mm.
You might know more scriptures. You might be, you know, picking up on different things, but there's a big world out there.
The abundance.
Yes, there's so much more. God has so much more for us. So, you know, he'll bring you there for a season, a reason and a season, but it's over and things are not meant to be a permanent habitation. Mm. And I think that that's what happens. I think naturally we get comfortable with a thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we camp out. And then we build our lives around mm-hmm. that rather than the other way around. Because the Lord, you know, says that out of our bellies will flow living water. But living water cannot flow in a stagnant place.
Mm-mm.
There needs to be an opening for those things to flow. And if you're week after week doing the same old, there's no room. Let's see. A lot of times you struggle with the fear of the unknown. And you may have disappointments and hurt from the past to keep you from pioneering and taking new risks.
Yes.
And in Deuteronomy 1, 6, and 7, God tells Moses, you've stayed at this mountain long enough. Time to break camp and move on. I feel like we're in this time of movement. We're in movement. And the Lord is drawing us forward into the things that he has for us individually and as the church. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else.
Because, you know, I think we had a discussion, something about migration yesterday or something. I don't know, when we were talking. We have these great conversations, by the way, just totally led by his spirit. So, but, you know, with migrating, you know, when we're transitioning, there's really a bigger purpose than we think.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that we have a choice in the matter. And when we go against that transition, wow, you know, I really pity us, because we can die.
Mm-hmm.
We can die in the past. You know, you think about Lot's wife, right? You know, the Lord was so merciful, where the angel of the Lord said, do not look back. Like, do not.
Yeah.
And we know what took place. Well, it's also a migration, you know, when these birds have to leave
mm-hmm.
a certain environment, you know, and they have to leave, let's say, because winter is coming. If they don't leave, they can't survive.
Right.
They won't make it. And so it's like with us, you know, when he's saying go and we don't go,
yeah.
we won't make it. We'll die there. We will die where we've been. And so disobedience, you know, sin, you know, brings death. And so, you know, gosh, if that in itself can't motivate us to say, oh, no, I'm going to keep on moving. Even if I can't see what's in front of me, I'm going to trust him, because if I stay here, I'm going to die. I'm going to freeze. I'm going to mm-hmm. starve. Everyone's going to be gone.
That's
and I'm
right.
going to miss yeah. what he has.
I'll be here all lonely by myself.
You know, exactly. I mean, we can, wow, there's so much we can get from this.
I know. And so in Isaiah 43,
mm-hmm.
18, forget the former things.
Yes.
Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I don't know. I just can't express enough that I can just see, like, light ahead, just this light, bright future. And, you know, God is like, beckoning us to come to him and to drop everything. Mm-hmm. We're talking, you know, emotional things, you know. You know, you might be tied to things in your house. Maybe you have collections of all these things and stuff. The Lord's like, come on, just let it go. Get rid of it. Just let go and then come into the new thing where you have never been before.
Yeah.
And just leave behind. He's given us a do-over.
Yes.
There is a do-over happening right now.
Let's go there. Yeah, let's go there.
And if you have to have the excitement or the unction to go there, and because that's trust,
yeah.
our trust in him. It's like He's,
yeah.
You know, I know when my dad used to take us, well, there were six of us growing up, seven of us. And so not very often, but sometimes we'd all get in the car. So I remember the one year Dad said, okay, we're going to New Hampshire for a vacation. Mm-hmm. So we all jumped in the car. I don't even remember if we had change of clothes or anything. So we drove to New Hampshire and, you know, Dad, I remember we stopped at a store somewhere and then Dad came out with the keys to a place that we were going to stay. And it was this big, beautiful house on the lake and everything.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, it was really neat.
Oh.
So, you know, we spent several days there. And it wasn't until years later that my mother told us that he had no idea where we were going to go. He just threw us in the car in the middle of the summer. And if you're from New England, you know that you can't just find a place to rent in the middle of summer.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, because everything's booked ahead of time.
Mm.
But my dad threw us in there. So all the way there, we're talking about, you know, oh, we're going to be swimming or doing whatever. But, you know, we totally trusted mm-hmm. our dad. And, mm-hmm. you know, fortunately, the Lord hooked him up.
Yeah.
Because he went into the store to ask about something and or maybe ask if anybody had anything to rent. And uh-huh. I guess there was a guy in line waiting. And he told my dad, he goes, yeah, you know, I have a place. He felt so bad.
Wow.
Because my dad's like, yeah, I'm in. I get my seven kids in the car. It's crazy. But that excitement, we,
yes,
all of us, we
yes.
were just like, we were trying to picture what it was going to be like. Because, you know, we had never, we didn't have a lot growing up. But, you know, we had a great house. But everything revolved around our neighborhood mm-hmm. and with our relatives. So, you know, we never took summer trips or only twice we did that.
Yeah.
So, but. Just that looking
yeah.
forward to it.
You kind of reminded me about, because remember, we just went through Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And according to, you know, the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, that actual day, the 28th of November, and we talked about this before, but you mentioning that excitement, that it was on the basis of Genesis 8, where it says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. And he sent a wind to blow across the earth and the flood waters began to recede.
Mm-hmm.
So to think that our physical date today, the date that we're living in, the Thanksgiving day, the 28th, many years before, it was when God was so faithful to keep his promises to Noah of a new day,
mm-hmm.
a new time, a new land, a new yeah. world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the hand of God being so prevalent upon him and the seven members of his family. And to be able, imagine you're on the ark and to be able to see God's wind, mm-hmm. feeling God's wind, that water receding, like the hope of his glory, like the hope of the new, the hope of redemption, mm-hmm. the hope of his mercy. Like, wow, Lord, exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm seeing right before my eyes and my family and I get to receive this time of grace, this time of new beginnings, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that, you know, wow, you know, 8 is new beginnings.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And so that was in Thanksgiving. But if you continue with the scriptures, you know, 2 months and a half later, the waters continued to go down and other mountain peaks became visible. So still there was like a 2 month and a half process.
Mm-hmm.
They still had to go in that transition to in expectancy. That's what I'm saying. You're like getting excited, like,
right.
Oh my goodness, we're going to be touching land any moment now.
Mm-hmm.
We have a chance to build and to move forward and to do things differently.
Amen. We sure do. And we're going to move forward into a break. So we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Set a fire inside me, a holy flame now burning, purified to make me.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Amen. We're back. And as I was saying earlier about that dream I had about that platform that looked like a Star Trek situation. I'm not a fan of Star Trek, so it was kind of out of the box for me. But I feel like what the Lord is saying is be excited about what is coming, even though you may not know what it is. But I sense like, you know, if you're just tuning in, I had shared that I had a dream that I saw like this Star Trek kind of thing that was up in space, and it was a round platform, and out of the platform were several different walkways that were leading up to the platform. And the in the dream, the Lord was saying, you know, you walk, some people are coming from all different directions, so they walk up to the platform. And when they're up on the platform begins to turn around and spin around. So you're just cycling around this round thing, and then it stops. And wherever it stopped, whatever walkway was in front of you, that was the one you exited on. And I just have the sense that the Lord really wants us to fully, completely trust him. You know, we might have areas of our life where we have not given over to him, we have not laid it down before him, and it's like this is the chance to like let it all go. Yes. Let it all go, because he has a great place to take each one of us, and allow him to move the platform around to the place that he wants to direct your life. Because it's going to be better than anything you could ever plan on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. He's you know, it's kind of reminding me months ago. Remember we were talking about how we felt like he was saying, you know, clean house, get your house in order,
exactly.
Right? Like, and I remember I told you, Karen, and I really never did it. And so I'm beginning to question.
Your closet?
Well,
cleaning your closet.
It's just overcrowded. That's what it is.
Okay.
Organized, but overcrowded. But, you know, where I felt like he was saying, take down things from your wall.
Oh, right.
Take down things from, you know, personally, that was really the emphasis. Begin to take things down from the wall as if we were moving. We were about to move.
Mm-hmm.
And so that spoke to me spiritually, like, start taking things down. Start giving things up. Like, that's the old, you know, that piece you had on that. No, it's time to clean it. It's time to clear it and make room for the new. And, you know, that's faith. You know, Hebrews 11:1, you know, what she's talking about defines faith as confidence in what we hope for. So that's where the excitement is. Let's get excited. Mm-hmm. Let's start hoping in our God. You know,
Amen.
The hope of our salvation. He is the anchor, right? And then it says, and assurance about what we do not see. So we don't see it, but it's the assurance of whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good. It's good. And so that's what faith is. That's the kind of faith that we need to grab a hold of, really get. And And, you know, it doesn't feel good, guys. I mean, I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of many people that are listening. It really hasn't been feeling good. I feel like both joy and sadness are mm-hmm. colliding.
Yes.
Both deferred hope and the hope arising, colliding. You know, all of these things, all of these opposites colliding right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're like at war within us.
Right.
But they must be. They must be, because we got to land somewhere. So where are you going to land?
Right.
Are you going to land in faith? Or are you going to land in unbelief?
Right.
You're going to land in hope, or you're going to land in hope defer. Are you going to land in light, or are you going to land in... You see what I'm saying? Like this...
Yes. Yeah, it's becoming very clear.
Very clear.
You know, there's two worlds. So, you know, in the spirit, of course, it's between our flesh and our spirit. You know, it's just... We just want to be set free from the things of this world. And I believe that's what the Lord is doing right now. He's
mm-hmm.
unburdening
mm-hmm.
us.
Yes.
We've heard that. Unburdening us.
Yes.
From what has been. He's giving the opportunity for you to let go once and for all.
Yeah.
The grace is there. It's, I don't know. I just feel like whatever I need, I know he's already got it.
Yeah.
But he's saying, let go of this, let go of that, you know, throw that out. He's telling us what he wants us to get rid of.
Yeah.
So that we can be filled with what he wants to give us.
Yeah.
It would be just like if, you know, if your parent says, hey, you know, go clean your room.
Yeah.
You know, because they have, maybe they bought you a whole new set of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold all artwork and everything. So they've got it packed away in the garage somewhere. So they're going to tell you, okay, I want you to clean your room, get rid of everything that you're not using. And if you're like in there going, well, you know, I don't really want to, you know, you're never going to receive yeah. the new, you know, and then you deprive your parents of yeah. Yeah. that blessing that they want to give you.
That's right.
Think of it that way. You know, how much God wants to give to us. I mean, his heart aches to give us
mm-hmm.
everything that is promised in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is yes and amen with him. You know, and it, for whatever reason, we just
yeah.
think he's this, yeah. you know, we have to do something in order to receive.
Yeah.
But he wants us to empty ourselves so that he can fill us brand new,
yeah.
brand new vision, brand new way of thinking. We renew our mind,
yeah.
you know, in Romans to yeah. Renew our mind with the word. But that, think of, I felt like he was telling me that whatever scripture he has revealed to me, because you get scripture by revelation.
That's right.
You might have a lot of stuff memorized, but when you have scriptures that God has clearly spoken them into your heart, you'll never forget it. You have them memorized chapter and
absolutely
verse.
Absolutely true.
And mm-hmm. it's like everything else, yeah, you might know it, but it's those particular scriptures that are part of the foundation of your life. And the Lord wants to build upon those things, build on what he has already implanted in you.
Yeah. And as you're speaking, I'm hearing... And I don't know if this is for someone who's listening, but it's take off your grave clothes,
mm-hmm.
your clothes of death, your clothes of defeat. You've wore them well in the last season. You need to take it off. And it kind of reminded me of that time in prayer we had, Karen, because, you know, we get together and we pray. This is very, very, this is about the Father's business mm-hmm. here on this broadcast. And, remember when you said that you literally saw, you know, like, or was it, I don't know, it was about the soil, but that how mm-hmm. we saw, even in yes. intercession, someone coming out of the grave.
Yes.
I feel like that's even in this moment right now. Come out of the grave. It's time for you to put on the new clothes, the clothes of gladness, like it talks about in the scripture. It's time. I don't know who it is, but... It's time to give up those clothes
mm.
and put on the new clothes, the new man in Jesus Christ. And so I encourage that person. It's a new season in your life. The time of mourning is left. The going into joy and just walk in it and allow the Lord to do what he needs to do, and come out of that grave. You're going to come out of that grave new. You're going to come out of that grave refreshed and willing to go further and deeper in the Lord and what he's requiring you to do.
And, you just reminded me of that, because I did see the hand, like, coming up out of the soil, you know, like a, you know, it's kind of a gruesome picture, like a dead person in a graveyard or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know where it is in Psalms, but, you know, it says, he drew me up.
Yes.
He drew me up out of that place for, mm-hmm. because it was too hard for me. I could not extricate myself,
mm-hmm.
but he's the one. So when he sees that hand lifted up, he's going to pull you up. He's going to pull you up.
Yeah, and the death had to happen. Hear me.
Yeah.
The death had to happen, but you don't remain there.
That's right.
You arise and shine, for the glory of our God has come.
Amen. Amen. So, Nanette, why don't you call people to salvation?
Yes.
Those that don't know Jesus.
Yes, yes. This is the most wonderful time. It says in the scripture that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Every time the Lord brings someone to your path to invite you, say yes. I pray that you say yes today. You say yes to your Savior. Yes to the Lord. The one who wants to be the Lord of your life, the one that wants to make that real to you, that when you do read the word, it is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And right now, just commit your life right now. I am a sinner, and I see your grace. I see Jesus on the cross dying for me. He died for you. His blood removed the curse in your life. His blood set you free and paid a penalty that you could not pay. Sin led to death, but he's leading you to life, life abundantly, life abundantly. Just grab a hold of that today. Grab a hold of it by faith. You have been saved. Jesus is the door. Go through it. Confess your sins, repent, and know that your Father has forgiven you, and he leads you to paths of life and hope and peace. Just let him in. Make it right today, because he died for you. So I pray that you are meditating on that, and in your way, you receive Jesus today.
Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.
Our wonderful and generous listeners, we wish a most blessed and joyful Christmas, with God's rich grace showering you and your loved ones.